Well, turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. We'll call this lesson tonight, or this afternoon, Knowledge That Matters. David wrote this psalm, and in the psalm, he starts out by saying, he uses the word blessed, or happy. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But in his law doth he meditate, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that beareth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You ever heard somebody make the statement, what you don't know won't hurt you? You ever heard that statement? What you don't know won't hurt you. Well, some people, that statement comes from a individual may be illiterate. That statement comes from an individual may be insensitive to pain. But you know, the opposite is true. We hurt physically. We hurt socially. We hurt spiritually. And we hurt emotionally in our lives. Did you know that knowledge can be abused in our lives? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. We see where Paul was pointing this out to the brethren of Corinth. He says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we have all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Some individuals, even in our society, that been to college, have degrees, they don't mind telling you how much they know. Knowledge puffeth up some people. Too much knowledge makes people dangerous, so to speak. But Paul says charity or love edifies. We know also that knowledge can be also used in a correct manner to help people in their lives, in teaching, in preaching to people concerning their salvation. In this lesson tonight, we're going to try to do three things. Number one, we're going to look at an Old Testament illustration. Number two, we're going to look at a New Testament explanation of knowledge that matters. And number three, then we'll look at the practical application that this will serve for your life and for my life tonight. But first of all, let's look at the Old Testament illustration. Now turn to the book of Hosea. Book of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea had made an analysis of the people of his day. This analysis was inspired by God. And this analysis even rings true in our country today. Hosea wrote, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will also forget thy children. Hosea said that the people of his day had forgotten God. They didn't have the knowledge. They didn't want the knowledge. Therefore, God rejected them. And he said he also forgot his children. We see in our country today how people reject God. They don't have the knowledge of God. They don't wake up. Then at the judgment, Jesus will reject them, according to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. When Jesus said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody that attended worship services today and wasn't right before God are going to heaven. Because Jesus said, many would come unto me that day and say, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, in thy name done many wonderful works? And when Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. You didn't follow the law of God. You didn't. But then we see also, this was a problem in Hosea's day, and it's a problem in our day. Because they rejected knowledge of God. They rejected obedience to God in Hosea's day. Therefore, they would have to suffer the consequences of that rejection of knowledge. If you don't study, you don't know. Then, at the end of time, the consequences for people in the judgment will be, as I said, Jesus said, well, depart from me. I never knew you. None of us want to hear those words. But some people who don't expect to hear those words will hear those words on judgment day. God has made arrangement to know the knowledge of His law, and knowledge of His law will be beneficial to your life, to my life, and to everybody we come in contact with. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. We see in that passage of Scripture, Jewish parents taught their children the law. They taught their children the law, what their children need to know concerning the law of Moses, concerning the law of God. Moses wrote these words, beginning with verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6. And these words which I command thee this day, thou shalt be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently, or faithfully, unto thy children, and shalt talk of them which thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. They shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. This was the parents of the Jewish children made sure they knew the law of God. You know, at that time, every 7 years, there was a public reading of the law made in the time of Moses. But we see later on in the chronicles of the history of Israel that Israel didn't remember the law of God. She left the law. She became ignorant of God's law. Ignorance of God's law or word resulted in her adultery. She started falling after idols. Her leaders, Saul, David, Solomon, started following after idols. Then they became in bondage. First of all, the Egyptian bondage. Later on, the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity. That's all due to the fact that they did refuse to have knowledge of the Word of God, and that knowledge has to be a working knowledge. And so we see that in this Old Testament illustration, Hosea said, my people, or God's people, was destroyed for the lack of knowledge. They weren't destroyed by the enemy, because they made themselves the enemy by not knowing what the Word of God said. And we have to study tonight to know what the Word of God says, because each one of us is going to be accountable for what we know on Judgment Day. What we know, not what we intended to know, or not what somebody taught us, but what we know from a personal observation and study of the Word of God. Let's look at the second thing. New Testament explanation. Now turn with me to Romans 10, 1 through 3. Romans 10, 1 through 3. Here's the illustration. Paul is real concerned about his people, the Jews, his fellow Jews. He starts out by saying to the Roman brethren, brethren, my heart's desire and the prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Well, that's commendable. For I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. But they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now here's a group of Christians. Paul was talking to his own people, the Jews. He said, hey, I want all my people, fellow Jews, to be saved. He said, but they have a problem. Oh, they have a zeal of God. They believe in God. They believe in God the Creator. They believe in God created man. But they don't have it according to knowledge. What kind of knowledge did they have, Paul? They had their own knowledge. They went about establishing their own righteousness, not the righteousness of God. He said they didn't submit or themselves unto God. They submitted themselves unto themselves. That happens today too in the church. There are people here in the church that submit, that have a zeal of God. But they don't worship according to the Word of God. They don't have the correct knowledge of the Word of God. And so that makes them, just like it Paul's fellow Jews, that makes them that they are ignorant of God's righteousness and they establish their own righteousness of what they think is right. Just like in the days in the Old Testament, during the days of the judges. The Bible says in the book of Judges that every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that's what's happening today in our country. People are not establishing their faith and their commitment unto God by the Bible. They're doing it by their own self, by their own criteria. So therefore, we gotta look at this illustration and see it happened in the days of Paul. Paul told these brethren that they have established in their own righteousness, and people can establish their own righteousness, and they cannot be saved by doing this. And we cannot be saved. And then we think about the word knowledge. The word knowledge is the theme of the book of 2 Peter. Jim talked about this morning, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. He talked about the latter part of that verse. I'm going to talk about the former part of that verse tonight, or this afternoon. Peter said, for if, the conditional word if, requires action on that individual's part. After they've escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do you escape sin? By having knowledge, replacing that with knowledge of what to do to be obedient to Jesus Christ. You want to get rid of sin, but you want to embrace salvation. And then, Peter also talks about, this was a knowledge as means of escape. We can escape sin. But there's also types of ignorance Peter talks about. Now look at chapter 3 of the book. Chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. And we see that Peter's talking about the last days and people talking about everything's going to be just the same as we know about tonight, this afternoon. He says, knowing this first, that there should come in the last days, the last age, scoffers, or these are people who make fun of them. Well, it's not going to happen. Walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, and by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Peter said, there are people in the last days that's going to say, they're going to be doing what they want to do. They say, oh, the end of time's never coming. I can do what I want to. I'll do what I want to, say what I want to, act like I want to. And he says, they're going to say, where's the promise of his coming? He ain't come. He said, look at all the people that's died before me. Look at Moses and David and Elijah and Paul and Peter and James, etc. He says, everything on the earth is going to continue as it was from the creation. He said, Peter said, they're ignorant. They're ignorant of the Word of God. Because he said, just as God created the heavens And the earth, just as he destroyed the world one time by flood, he's going to destroy the world again by fire. We have to be prepared for it. And this is what Peter said. This is what Peter wrote down by inspiration. Then we see the word knowledge means to know. And that word know, to knowledge, is in the Christian graces in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. When Peter, in that list of Christian graces, he would write, and beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge is required in the Christian graces. Knowledge is required as a Christian grace to know that we have to have this knowledge to be pleasing to God. And then, what do we do with the knowledge? We got the knowledge. We got the Bible. We study it. We meditate upon it, as the psalmist said, day and night. What do we do with it? Well, we grow in knowledge. You grow in your spiritual life. Peter would also address that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. When he says, but grow in grace. What's grace? Grace is the unmerited favor of God. It's the information that God has given us through his writers, some 40 writers of the Bible, that they wrote as they was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge to know what you need to do to be saved, to know what you need to do to keep saved, to know what you need to do to know how to teach the Bible to other people. He said, you grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Very simple, what God wants us to do. And then he said, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. He said, if you do this, you can give the praise unto God and unto his Son. People today who worship to be seen of men are exactly doing that. They worship because of entertainment. They worship because they want to be feel good. I haven't been to this job very long, but I've heard people say, well, I went to church yesterday and I feel so good. Well, it's not supposed to make us feel good. We're to worship God. God is the object of worship, not for us. Not for us to feel good. We should be encouraged. Remember one speaker at the Free Hardman Lecture said, we come to Sunday morning Bible study, Sunday morning worship, Sunday evening worship, and Wednesday night worship to get our tanks filled. Kind of like getting your car filled up with gas. He said, you get your tank filled and you're ready to go back out and present the gospel to the world, to other people who need the Bible, who need to study the Bible. And this is very serious business we're talking about tonight. Third place, let's look at the practical application. Practical application of knowledge. Jesus connected knowledge and freedom together. John 8:32. Everybody can quote this passage in this assembly tonight. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How are you going to be free if you don't know what to do? How are you going to be free if you don't know the truth? Jesus said, it is possible to know the truth. And he said, once you know the truth, you have to do something with that truth. You have to be obedient to the truth. Then that obedience and that decision to be obedient makes you free. Free from what? What are we free from? Sin. Sin. The devil. What the devil represents. So therefore, knowledge is very vital to salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. We used this last Wednesday night in the invitation. Paul said, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth? God wants you, he wants me to be saved on judgment day. He does not want us to be lost. He said, but we have to come to a knowledge to know what the truth is. And in knowing the truth, then we can embrace that truth and be obedient to it and walk in it and live in it. Because it's necessary to walk and to live according to the truth. Now, In Galatians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul addresses some people who were not doing this. He said, but when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. There were some in Galatia that did not obey the gospel. They wasn't going to walk as according to what God said. He said, I said unto Peter before them all. So Peter and Paul were there. And he said, I told Peter and I told them all, if thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles and not do as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? He said, okay. He said, there's some people, if you're being a Jew and there's some people that are living like Gentiles live, but they was complaining. He said, if you're going to live like the Gentiles live, then don't make them, don't be a problem. What he's talking about, they didn't hold on to the gospel. They went to establish their own righteousness, is what he's saying there. He says, if thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles. If you live like the Gentiles, he says, and you don't do as the Jews, you don't do as God directs you, he says, why do you then require the Gentiles to live like you do as Jews? Why? And he said, they don't make any sense. But then we see God's word must be internalized. It must be in us. It must be translated into life and practice in our lives. James chapter 1, verse 25. James said, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. What's the perfect law of liberty? The word of God. And continueth therein, he and being not forgetful here, but do the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We'll be called blessed if we look in this law of liberty and continue there and continue in it and be obedient to it and be ready for the coming of Jesus, then we will have no fear when that day comes. One who delights in the law of the Lord will not follow the counsel or the advice of the ungodly. One who delights in the law of the Lord will not stand in the way of sinners. You will not want to be in the way of sinners, because sinners will corrupt you. As Psalm 1:1 has said, because one who delights in the law of the Lord will not sit in the seat of the scornful. He will not want to sit in the, or be participant in the evils of the world. But he will rather, verse 2 of Psalm 1, delight in the law of the Lord. In verse 2, meditate upon that word day and night, that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. One who delights in the law of the Lord shall be productive, according to verse 3 of that psalm. You will be productive in the kingdom of God. One who delights in the law of the Lord will prosper, according to verse 3. You will prosper in your spiritual growth, in your spiritual life. And then in verse 5, you will stand in the congregation of the righteous. You'll be numbered among the righteous. And when Jesus comes to receive his own, you'll be ready. You'll be ready because you have the knowledge that matters concerning your soul salvation. As I look over this assembly this evening, we're all members of this congregation. Do you have the correct knowledge in your life? Do you have the knowledge and you know that Jesus comes tonight, that you are in a saved condition? Or do you lack knowledge? Or do you, as we looked at, you've let that knowledge kind of push it aside and you let sin in your life, and you need sin to get out of your life. You need to repent of sins tonight. If you sin publicly and you know you need to repent of those things, then this is what you need to do tonight, because God has given you this opportunity. As Jim leads us in this song, if you need to respond to the invitation, you need to get your life right before God, I encourage you to do this right now as we stand and sing.